So today, I'm going to go around and pick a few people. We're trying to find out what are some things that you're thankful for. And I was thinking while we were sitting, what are some things that I'm thankful for? And well, I'm thankful that I'm going to be a yaya soon in March. I've been waiting for that for a very long time. But one thing that I'm very thankful is I'm thankful that I get to work with an amazing staff here at Broadway. We have Laura Lee, we have Jason and Ashley, we have Hannah and Taylor. I get to live and hang out with Paul. We get to have Rob as our men's fellowship and Evelyn as our wow and Bob as our epic. That's a pretty epic name, Bob. And all the board that we get to work with, like, we just feel so blessed, and we're just so grateful, and we're so thankful for this church. And so we just wanted to, that's how I'm going to start it. But I'm going to go around. I'm going to pick old and young and middle age, like myself. And we're going to find out what are some things that we're thankful for. So put on your thinking caps, and I'm going to rush out. How many do you want me to do, Paul? Oh, he's not saying. How about I try with you guys? What are some things that joy you're thankful for?
Well, I'm thankful that I'm in Canada and I have a job. I get the opportunity to work with children in my school. I give thanks to, you know, my family at home.
And you have an amazing son. Yes. Right, an amazing husband. Okay, let me go on here. Let's see. What are something that you're thankful for? One of our college and careers. Or maybe a little bit older than college and career. Maybe, we won't say.
Well, I've got family coming today for Thanksgiving.
Nice.
Yes.
And your mom's cooking?
She is.
Okay, are you going to be helping her?
A little bit.
Yeah, okay. All children should be helping their mothers. That's all I have to say. Thank you. All right, let me see here. Jason, what do you got to say? Or Lisa, too.
I'm thankful for his grace in my life. I'm thankful for his strength and that he saved me.
That's
what I'm thankful for.
Yeah. Anything for you, Lisa?
I'm thankful for my family and that we have the freedom to, you know, praise him here and have this church and all the new friends that we've met in the church as well, and just, you know, all the little things that we take for granted as well.
Thank you. Yeah, you guys are new to the church, but you fit right in.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right, let me go. Let me see what else I can do here. Esther. Miss Esther reading her bulletin. Esther, what is something that you're thankful for?
Well, the first thing came to mind is salvation, for Jesus Christ is my Savior. And my family. Thank God for health. And many, many other things that, like she said, we take for granted.
Thank you. All right. Let me move on down. Oh, here's some little peanuts here. What is something that you would be thankful for? How old are you?
13.
You're 13, okay.
My family and my friends and my school and everyone I know.
Is there anything that you guys want to say? What is something that you're thankful about for Thanksgiving? Are you thankful that mommy's going to cook some yummy dinner? Yeah. Okay. Okay, guys. You guys are new to our church. What is something that you're thankful for?
I'm thankful to know that there's somebody out there who can answer all our questions, who has all the answers, and who can give us everything that we need. We all have to go to him. Amen.
And that's not Pastor Paul, that's Jesus, right? Just keeping it real here. All right, let me see here. I want to hear from some of our younger generation, because our younger generation have big voices in the world, my friend.
I'm thankful for my health and that I've never had to go in and out of the hospital because there was something wrong with me. And I'm thankful for the opportunities that I have and that I'm very blessed with what I have and that I shouldn't take them for granted.
And mom and dad have that on video. And when you don't clean your room or you do something crazy, bump, they're gonna play that. All right, let's do one more family here. All right. Well, we'll do Michaela and you guys. We'll do you guys like a duet, mommy and daughter. All right, we'll start with you.
Well, I'm thankful for our health system. My husband and I have had to visit the health system quite frequently this past month, and I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the care we got, and I'm grateful for all the love we got as well.
Well, I'm single for my growing family, and I'm going to get my sister of my dreams, a sister-in-law.
Really? You're getting a sister-in-law? Cool. And then you'll be a yaya or grandma one day. Yeah. All right, I'm going to pick one more person. I'm trying to find somebody that's maybe new to the country. Is there anybody new to the country here? I'll get my Spanish student. She's new to the country, Naya. Okay, Naya, this is your first Thanksgiving here in Canada, right? You don't have Thanksgiving in Spain. So what is something, I know you don't really know because you haven't really tried it yet, but you're gonna eat some yummy food on Monday, but what is something that you're thankful for being here in Canada?
The host family I have.
Oh, that was a great answer.
And I don't know.
What else? You thankful for your mom and dad?
Yeah.
You're probably pretty thankful for your mom and dad to send you here, because that's a lot of dough, right? So make sure you thank them that on Monday. All right.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate you doing that. Lots to be thankful for. I'm super surprised at the women, though. None of them said chocolate. I thought for sure we'd get at least one chocolate out of the ladies that said thankful for something. But I am thankful, like Chris said, for this church family, for our family, for God's blessing, his wisdom, his guidance, how he takes us through good times, bad times, all the time. He's there. He never leaves us, forsakes us. He's there. And I'm thankful for that. We have so much to be thankful for. Sometimes it's difficult to be thankful in the hard times, though. Because what I've discovered, life is never perfect. Rarely stress-free or problemless. Rarely uncomplicated or smooth sailing. In times like that, we wonder, is it possible to be thankful? So turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 17 as we'll look at a story where Jesus is traveling again across the countryside, as he did when his 3 years of ministry. He was on the move all the time. He was sharing God's love. He was encouraging people. He was telling the truth about the kingdom of heaven and drawing people to that. So Luke chapter 17, verse 11. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into the village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and they called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." So Lord Jesus, as we read your word and we look into your word, I pray that you would enlighten it to our hearts and our mind, that we see what you're trying to say to us, and that we would get it, and it would transform our lives, change how we live forever. In Jesus' name. Amen. So you have these guys who have come up to Jesus, but they come up, they come, and they said that they stood at a distance. be like me coming up, and then Rob's right there. I want to talk to Rob, but I get this far. I stop. I said, "Hey, Rob!" Well, doesn't it make sense to go up? "Hey, Rob." Wouldn't it be easier to do that? But these guys, they stood at a difference, and they yelled out, "Hey, Jesus!" They were getting Jesus' attention. Why did they stand so far away? They had leprosy. See, we don't really understand what leprosy is in our culture. Let me take a moment just to describe what leprosy would be like. A person who had the most severe kind of leprosy would begin by feeling tired. Then they'd have pains in their joints. They would get discolored patches on their skin, especially on their back. Little nodules would grow and start out with, they'd be pink, and then they would turn brown, and their skin would begin to thicken, and the nodules would gather mostly around the cheek and the face area, and the nose and the forehead. And these nodules would continue to grow and grow and grow until their face would begin to change in appearance to the point where the people that even knew them, their family, wouldn't even recognize them anymore. As the disease progressed, the nodules would begin to become open sores with a really rotten odor. Their eyebrows, they would fall off. Their voice would change because they're getting nodules on their vocal cords. Eventually, their body would just be a mass of sores. Near the end of their life, they would become mentally unstable and then go into a coma and eventually would die. The average life expectancy for somebody with that kind of leprosy was 9 years. In those times, a person who had leprosy was considered to be extremely contagious, and so they were not allowed to be near anybody. They couldn't live in their house. They couldn't live in their town. They'd have to live way off in a cave in the countryside somewhere with other lepers. Leprosy was a death sentence. You know, in just a matter of time, it was going to kill you. You were literally the walking dead. So the lepers call out to Jesus. Why? Why? I'm sure they've seen people pass all the time, and they already seen lots of people. Why? I bet you they heard the stories about how Jesus healed people, how Jesus restored people, how he changed their life, and they were calling out to Jesus because they needed help. I don't know, maybe you feel isolated. Maybe you need healing. Maybe there's a struggle or a trial or a situation or a job issue or something going on in your life. I encourage you, call out to Jesus. He can help. We heard one of the things we're thankful for, that there's someone we can go to who has all the answers. And his name is Jesus. It says in Luke 17, verse 14, "And when they saw him, that he said, 'Go show yourself to the priest.' And as they went away, they were cleansed." Now, I don't know about you, but that seems kind of like a weird response. If I go to the pharmacist and I ask for some medication because I'm sick, so you go up to the pharmacist and say, "Hey, Jill, I could use some antibiotics because I'm sick." And she says to you, "Go see Pastor Paul." "No, I'm here to get my prescription because I want to get better." But she sends you somewhere else. That's what happened. They go to Jesus because they think he's going to make them better, and he just says, "Oh, go see the priest." Why? Well, see, understand, in those days, if you were sick, you had to see the priest before he could re-enter society because he had to make sure that you were cured and that you were not sick anymore. So the priest, you had to go there if you want to prove that you weren't sick anymore. The lepers leave, and as they're leaving, they are healed. Interesting. On the outside, when they were there, they still had these nodules. They still had these sores. They were still sick. They were still in pain. And Jesus says, "Go." see the priest. Now, I don't know about some people, but some of us might say, well, wait a minute, Jesus, I haven't changed. I'm still sore. Look in the mirror. Look at my face. It's still got the sores, and I got the oozing and the smell, and I haven't changed. How about we change me first, then I go see the priest? Our oldest son, years ago when he was born, the first couple years of his life, or first few years of his life, he had severe asthma and allergies. They were so bad that we had to get a ventilator for him and put it on his mouth. I don't know if you've ever had to use a ventilator on a very young child that you put on their face and they kick and scream is all they do, but they got to get it because they can't breathe. Many times we had to rush him to the hospital. Then our other son, Schaefer, he had constant ear infections. His ears were always infected to the point where, again, always at the hospital, and he was going to need surgery. The doctors actually had him scheduled for surgery. So we're in a service one time, and we're there, and they're preaching on healing. And Chris hears the message on healing, and it's getting the time for the altar call. And she goes to the nursery. She grabs the two boys. She brings them to the altar, and she says, Jesus, I'm sick and tired of sick kids. And they pray for them, and they're completely healed. From that day forward, River never used a ventilator again. In fact, we loaned it to a friend and they never gave it back. And we didn't notice it missing. Our son Schaefer, his ears were so bad that he had his eardrums were full of scar tissues. Chris took him back to the doctor and they went to pre-op to get ready for surgery. She said, no, I want you to check his ears again. He checked his ears and he kept looking at the chart, looked at his ears, looked at the chart, looked at the ears, talked to the nurse. He said, there's something wrong, because what I see on this chart and I see in his ears, there's no scar tissue on his eardrums. Not only did he not need surgery, he restored his eardrums as if they never had any ear infections. Healing requires faith. Faith requires action. God wants us to step out when he says, even when we don't see it yet, even when we don't know it yet, even when we're not sure yet. It says in Mark chapter 11, verse 24, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Are you praying for a healing? Are you praying for a job or a marriage or wisdom, strength, direction, provision? You're going through this struggle. Walk like you've already received it. Pray. Remember, let's read that again just in case we didn't get it. Mark 11, 24. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Ask for it. And then believe you've already received it. Even though, like these lepers, they hadn't changed yet when they started walking. Ask Jesus, believe. Yes, it's fine. I'm praying. I'm praying now. I'm praying for my family that in 2018, we will be closer to Jesus than we were in 2017. And I've been praying more specifically that it will be noticeable by people around us. So it's not vague. I'm very specific, and I put a date on it, and I'm walking like it's already happening. That God's going to do it, that he's not going to do it. He's already done it. Right? He's already done it. And even though I may not be able to see it yet, I'm going to believe it because I want to receive it. Right? Believe it, and you will receive it. Sounds how the lepers are walking away and they're going to see the priest because they have to prove that they're okay so they can re-enter and go back to their homes, their friends, their family, get their jobs back. They're all healed, every one of them. It says in Luke chapter 17, verse 15, one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he said, and he was a Samaritan. What's the first thing we do when something good happens? Text a friend? Post it on Facebook or Instagram? Tweet it. Email it. Call somebody. We want people to know how many great things that are happening, what this great news I got. Once we had permission, we Facebooked that we were going to be grandparents. We were believing to receive that for a long time. What did the leper do? The first thing he did, he didn't go to see the priest. He didn't go to see his family. He didn't talk to his friends. The first thing he did is go to Jesus. The first thing he did is he thanked Jesus. And that's the thing that we want to do when we answer prayer, when God blesses, when things happen in our life, we want to take it to Jesus first and not telling everybody else. But thank Jesus. It says, Luke 17, verse 17. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return to give praise to God except for this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise, go, your faith has made you well." Jesus says, "Where are the other 9? They were healed. Why aren't they thankful?" I start thinking, Jesus has blessed us so much and done so much in our life. Would he say to us, "Why aren't you thankful? Why aren't you giving me praise? Why aren't you looking to me for all things I've done?" Has he healed us? Has he provided our need? Has he blessed us in some way? Are we like the 9, taking it for granted, assuming we deserve it, that it's ours anyways, and not thankful for what we have? I'm not saying our life is perfect. I'm not saying we have everything we want. I bet you we have everything we need, because Jesus promised to provide our needs. Are we not thankful for that? Only 1 out of 10. Gave thanks to Jesus. Maybe that's the way it is in our world. Maybe in our world that only 1 out of 10 people are going to give thanks to Jesus. Let's be the one. Let's be the one that's going to give praise. Let's be the one that's going to give thanks. It says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Really what he's saying is, cultivate in yourself, in your heart, in your life, an attitude of gratitude. How do we do that? How do we have that thankfulness and being going to God and be happy and asking God for help? Well, do we believe that life should be perfect? Should be stress-free? Have no problems, pain, trouble? You ever felt like that? My life should be good. How come it's so hard? How come it's difficult? Well, the only place that I know that's like that is heaven. And we're living on earth. Now, unless you're rushed to get to heaven, if you really want stress-free, pain-free, that's where you got to go. As long as you're here. Okay, you don't believe me. All right. Believe this, because Jesus said this. John chapter 16. Verse 33, "I told you these things so that you might, that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble." That's not Pastor Paul saying that. That's Jesus saying that. In this world you will have problems. When problems come, stop whining all the time. It's just a reminder you're still on this world and not in heaven. But there's good news. It says, "Take heart, I've overcome the world." The world and the devil ain't going to win. Jesus has overcome them, and he's going to bring us through it. He's going to bring us to the other side. He's going to give us hope. So how to get a better attitude and more gratitude? Keep your eyes on Jesus, not the stuff around us. Keep your eyes on Jesus. In this world of excess and constant wanting more, we can think that we need more, should have more, deserve more. In fact, we see that all the time, don't we? In the advertisements, you got to have this. You deserve this. Honestly, really? You deserve that because they want to make money off you. That's why you deserve that. See? We can get caught up in that. And it says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Being content with what Jesus has given us at this moment in time. That's what Paul talked about. Paul talked about how he knew what it was to have a lot or a little, to be well-fed or hungry. That he could do it with Jesus' strength. See, being content with what we have. Our world doesn't want us content. It's based on more, 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 more. We have to learn to say, Jesus, what I have and what you give me at this moment, thank you for that. A medical survey said that they did a study saying that constant complainers live longer than people that are really sweet and peaceful. It claimed that the cantankerous spirit that gives them purpose for living. They wake up in the morning and they get excited about the fresh challenge of finding new things to grumble about. And they get the pleasure out of making people's life miserable. Now, I don't know if complainers live longer, or maybe it just seems like they do. I mean, there can be 10 things good happening in our life and one bad, and what do? Complain about the one. And forget about the other 10. Here's what it says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on such things. Focus on the good, and you will be more thankful. Isn't it true? Like, again, remember, there's trouble in the world. I'm not saying bad don't happen. It does happen. But focus on the good. And the things and the praiseworthy and right and just. And I mean, there's so many things that are unjust in our world and so many things that are shady and evil and wrong. If we focus on that, man, you're going to get down. You're going to feel like it's hopeless and worthless. There's nothing. There's not. God can't do anything in this place. But if you focus on the good, that means probably once in a while turning off the news. I like to stay up with what's going on, but once in a while, you got to be kidding me. I mean, if they can't find something bad in Canada, they go to the States to look for it. And Lord help us, if there's nothing wrong in North America, they'll go around the world to find something. Isn't it true? It's ridiculous. I'm watching Canadian news. And there wasn't one thing about Canada on it. Lord help us, we had no problems today. Serious. We need to keep our eyes on the good, the pure, the holy, the right, the righteous, and then we will be more thankful. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 says this, "So then, just as you've received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." Wow. Not thankful for one day. Oh, Thanksgiving Day. We got to give one of the 365 to be thankful. And we complain the rest of the 364. No. It's not giving one day. It's not giving a week. It's not giving a year. It's our life overflowing with thankfulness. What would our world be like if everyone here overflowed with thankfulness? I mean, I'm sure you drive the people at your work completely insane. Would you stop being so happy? You're driving me nuts. I can't complain when you're around. Get away from me. But it says to overflow with thankfulness. That's what Jesus wants in us. He doesn't want us just to be thankful one day. Not just for one thing. Not just once in a while. But he wants us to live a life of thankfulness. I'd like us to stand together. I would like us to give a confession of thankfulness to Jesus from our heart. And that we would confess that to him. And I put it up on the screen. And I would like us to say this together as a confession of thankfulness to Jesus that we want to live our life this way. Let's say it together. Jesus, I refuse to be a prisoner of my past, my circumstances, or my feelings. I will thank you for what I have and not complain about what I don't have. I will focus my mind on Jesus. I refuse to be a prisoner of my past, my circumstances, or my feelings. I will thank you for what I have and not complain about what I don't have. I will focus my mind and what is good, your blessings, your goodness, thanking you every day of my life. Amen. What is good, your blessings, your goodness, thanking you every day of my life. Amen. So, Lord Jesus, we thank you right now. We bring this confession of thankfulness to you that we will live our life, Lord, not thinking about what we don't have, not looking at our past and all the terrible things that have happened, but we will keep our eyes on you and your blessings, Lord Jesus, and you will help us, Lord, to be content with what you have given us. So, Lord Jesus, we give this to you and we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Just keep your heads bowed and eyes closed for a minute. As we are here, one of the greatest things that has ever been given to us is Jesus for our life, till we can accept him, that he can set us free from all the stuff, all the sin, all the past, all the garbage that we've ever had to face. He'll set us free from that. If you're here today and you want that for your life, I would encourage you, just say a prayer with me. If you just say this simple prayer, a confession to Jesus, he is going to set you free. Lord Jesus, I am here now. I need you. Please set me free from my past, all the garbage, all I've done wrong. Come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior that I might live for you in Jesus' name. Just keep your heads bowed and eyes closed. If you're here and you said that prayer, I would encourage you, just with me, just to raise your hand. Just keep heads bowed and eyes closed. If you said that prayer, we have some stuff, information that's going to help you on your journey. This new life that Jesus is going to take you into. If you said that prayer, just quickly raise your hand. We want to make sure that you get that information. It's going to be a huge help to you. Now, maybe you said that prayer, but you just seem shy to raise your hand. You can still get that same information. Just go to the guest services table. They have a Bible and that information for you right there. Lord Jesus, we come right now. We come to you and we just want to take some time to be thankful. So we begin today to overflow, Lord Jesus, in our life. Start that well springing up inside of us. Lord, that we would overflow in thankfulness. Lord Jesus, begin it, even at this time, at this moment, even right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're here this morning. We're going to take some time, and we just want you to express your thankfulness to God. And the best time to do it is now. Not just because it's Thanksgiving, but because God is so good to us. With whatever we're going through, He's so good to us. And we need to make time all the time, every day, throughout the whole day, to thank Him. But why not begin now? So let's take some time to be thankful. And if you're here and you are even in that attitude of thankfulness, you realize you have needs, you want prayer or for somebody else, we're going to have the altar workers come forward, and you can come up here and we'll pray with you and stand with you. But let's take some time as the worship team leads us to be thankful to Jesus for His goodness.